Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Welcome back. Glad to have you here at The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at edage.com. And by Captivate Network, visit them at captivate.com. Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, as always, a great show. David Meerman Scott is joining us today. He has a new book called The Worldwide Rave, and we'll be talking with David in just a few minutes. We also have Shamin Abbas with us. What is a blog? Now, you may say, well, that's a dumb topic. Actually, not really. For those who are not in the know, or maybe not completely in the know, it's a good idea. We'll have that feature here in just a moment. And Gene Bliss a little bit later on this hour with the Container Store. An interesting story about what's up at the Container Store, which is, by the way, a really cool place. So, Gene, Shamin, and Mean Joe Green. No, Ray Schillens yeah. And Brad Forsythe on The Advertising Show with good stuff coming your way today. What do you have there?
Well, I was going to mention, Ray, we're encouraging all of our listeners and any new listeners and telling your friends about The Advertising Show to go to iTunes. You can go to our homepage at theadvertisingshow.com, and there's a link directly to our homepage on iTunes, or go to iTunes and go to the iTunes store there and plug in The Advertising Show and subscribe to The Advertising Show through iTunes. We're trying to get all of our listeners around the world to be aware that we're wanting to focus all of the effort through iTunes because it's the hub for podcasting, and it's a great place to go. And also, if you care to, write a review about The Advertising Show if you're so inclined. We're not saying it has to be all good things. We appreciate those good comments, but if you have other comments, include those as well. So
good and bad is welcome, okay? Good and bad is okay. Go ahead.
Good and bad, yeah. It doesn't matter. That's my unpaid political announcement. Ray, set your TiVo because the NFL has agreed on a two-year extension of its network TV deals with Fox and CBS through 2013. Under the deal, CBS is set to broadcast the Super Bowl in 2013 with Fox carrying the broadcast in early 2014. CBS Sports President Sean McManus calls the NFL the NFL football game the single most important sports property in the world, and I think that's probably an understatement when it comes to the Super Bowl, right?
And in 2014, it will still be illegal for those of you interested in using that word, Super Bowl. You
yes,
can't do
true.
It.
That's right.
Okay, so
right.
Whatever you want to call it, but possibly you've used this in the past and you're in jail right now, but you'll be out by 2014. TV advertisers working harder than ever to basically attract advertising. A couple of cable channels plan to significantly expand an initiative that pairs commercials with relevant scenes in the shows they say here interrupt. I never thought they interrupted. At a presentation, Turner Entertainment Networks, part of the Turner Broadcast System, intends to announce the expansion of the initiative called TV in Context. It is to be available in 100 movies and scripted series during the 09-10 season on TBS TNT. It has been available in 50 movies on those channels during the 08-09 season. The wooing of advertisers by the Turner channels will begin day three of what is known as an upfront week called because TV executives are trying to sell commercial time before the beginning of the season. So what they're doing is getting a little bit more creative, and when it comes to advertising and selling advertising, more creative is always good. We've got Shamin Abbas here on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. Let's listen.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
What, in fact, is a blog? I'm probably not telling many of you anything new, since most of you are veterans of the web and generally know a blog when you see it. But for the uninitiated, a blog is, at its simplest, a way of displaying information in a highly templated format, incorporating a fixed outer shell and a variable interior space that displays new entities in reverse chronological order. The vast majority of the millions of blogs out there are highly personal, but they certainly don't have to be, and as marketers, advertisers, and PR firms jump on the bandwagon, things start to even out. Even so, the corporate and professional blogs will still be characterized by the personal touch. We have made it part of our initial proposals and campaign strategies to instruct every relevant client in how to create and maintain a blog, often assisting in the creation and the content, of course. In fact, businesses have already caught on to the idea of adding corporate blogs as a way to interact directly with consumers, clients, and prospects in a way that cannot be done through traditional marketing and advertising outreach. By establishing a dialogue and a distinct personality, you've crossed the natural barrier between seller and buyer, or agency and client. For agencies constantly looking to feed new business, this fact should surprise. According to a recent CMO survey, 80% of decision makers say they found the vendor, not the other way around. Instead of finding your clients, the new business paradigm for marketing 2.0 is to help your prospective clients find you. The strength of social media is its reach. One message can exponentially, virally grow to reach a very large audience. People, whether they be prospective clients, prospective employees, or the media, will flock to your blog site primarily because of good content. The key target audience has questions. You provide the answers and offer opinions. It's really that simple.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional, with host Shameen Abbas. Shameen is president and founder of Shameen Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShameenAbbasPR.com. That's ShameenAbbasPR.com.
Hey, thanks. Shameen Abbas here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. David Meerman-Scott, just about to join us here in a few moments. David, turned the foundations of marketing upside down with the new rules of marketing and PR, which won the 800 CEO Read Author's Choice Award, and it was named one of the best marketing books of all time by BNet, received a starred Publishers Weekly review, and almost 2 years after publication is still one of today's best-selling marketing books. Soon to be replaced by the new book called Worldwide Rave, Creating Triggers That Get Millions of People to Spread Your Ideas and Share Your Stories. A lot of good stuff here as it relates to, marketing, advertising, and connecting with your customers and potential customers as well. So we look forward to talking with David here. Got just a moment, Brad, if you want to talk about something.
Well, you know, when probably the most overexposed individual in the world, niche media, is pulling the plug on Trump magazine, the Donald's Vanity Mag, niche, which inherited the title as part of the acquisition of Ocean Drive Media in 2007, says it's closing its a number of publications from that deal, including Trump's magazine, because it was never a big moneymaker. And I'm wondering, did anyone ever explain the concept of overexposure to Donald? about diluting your brand, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know. In some ways, I guess that's true. In other ways, Jesus, he's smart.
He's got, he's got vodka out now.
I gotcha. Yeah, overexposure. Yeah, I'll go along with that for sure. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. We'll be back here with David Meerman-Scott. Worldwide Rave, the book is called, and the Advertising Show powered by Shipple.com and a program called Tendency. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. Check it out. Back in just a moment with more.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe.
Stronger than dirt.
As promised, our very special guest, David Nierman Scott, best-selling author of The New Rules of Marketing and PR and other books as well. It's a brand new book. It's called The Worldwide Rave, Creating Triggers That Get Millions of People to Spread Your Ideas and Share Your Stories. Well, David, it is good to have you back on the show. Welcome.
It's great to be here, Ray and Brad. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, David, did your subtitle pretty much define what a worldwide rave is, or can you elaborate on that for our audience,
please? It's basically when people on the web are talking about you, sharing your ideas, spreading your stories, and I think it's just a really, really cool way to market. The idea that you can create something, could be a YouTube video or a blog post or a research report or some photographs that people talk about.
And you know, the great part about your book, and Ray and I were talking about this off the air today, not only is it very uniquely formatted and it's very easy to read, but it's got some great instructions for those that may be new to this particular topic. And one of the first things you lay out in your book, David, I don't have to tell you this, but for our audience, are the rules of the rave, as you call it. Briefly, take us through some of the highlights, beginning with nobody cares about your products.
Yeah, you know, what I did for the last couple of years is I just studied this phenomenon of why does one thing spread and something else doesn't? Why does one YouTube video get 100,000 views and another seemingly similar YouTube video get only 100 views? So I identified six things that seem to make sense in terms of if you do them, you're increasing your chances. So the first one, you just mentioned, nobody cares about your products except you, which is really kind of scary for some people. And what people do care about are themselves, and what they care deeply about are their problems and solving their problems. So when you create something on the web to try to get it to spread, try not to focus on what does your silly product do, but instead how does it solve problems for people, and how do you do business with people. That's the first one. The second one is no coercion required. And I found that a lot of people with an advertising background tended to want to apply the skills that worked in an offline world to this online phenomenon of getting people to spread your ideas. And they kind of do coercion techniques, you know, no money now or free shipping or enter this contest or whatever. And that doesn't work. Sometimes it can work, but it's not required. The third one is the one that gives people panic. And honestly, they do. It does. It's lose control. Lose control of your marketing. Because if you want people to talk about you and spread your ideas, you have to let them spread it in the way that they want to, using the language that they want to. And that one's really difficult for people to get their arms around. The next three are pretty simple. Put down roots. That means you just need to be in the social media sites that your buyers are in. If they're on Facebook, that's where you need to be, for example. Fifth one is create triggers that encourage people to share. And a trigger is just something that you create that's spreadable. Again, it could be a YouTube video. It could be a Facebook fan page. But something that encourages people to spread that you can start, that triggers that spreading. And finally, if you do those things, you're going to want to point people to a place where they can either do business with you or buy your product or learn more, and that's point the world to your virtual doorstep. So those are the six things. You do them right, a little bit of luck, a little bit of fairy dust, and you'll have a phenomenon on your hands.
Yeah, and blessing by the Pope, okay?
Yeah, right.
You know, I was circling back around. You mentioned triggers that encourage people to share. So many times I've seen exactly what you're talking about there, but yet we're back to point number one. Nobody cares about your products except for you. And I think a lot of times companies think that they can create triggers that are all about, again, back to their product or service, but it has to really be something more serving to the end user, correct?
Exactly. And you know, I have a bunch of examples I really love. One of my favorites is Dr. Helene Smith. She's a dentist in Boston. And prior to sort of implementing these kinds of ideas, she was buying Yellow Page ads, and she was spending $2,000 a month on them. So if she wanted to create something to spread on the web, she wouldn't want to talk about what a great dentist she is. I mean, no one cares about that. That's her product. But what she did do was she wrote an ebook, a free PDF document, an ebook called Healthy Mouth, Healthy Sex, believe it or not. And it's about the relationship between your oral health and your sex life. And man, did that thing spread. And it spread so fast and so quickly, and so many people in the Boston area learned about it and wanted to, hey, that sounds like the dentist I want to have, someone who's cool. And her business went from $150,000 in revenue a year 2 years ago to over $1 million in revenue this year, and she stopped doing Yellow Page ads 18 months ago. That's,
wow,
that's the sort of thing that can happen. But again, if she had talked about the fact that she's a great dentist, nobody would have cared. But they cared about was someone who's laying it on the line and talking about the issues around your oral health and what that means for your sex life. And by the way, the American Dental Association freaked out about that. It's like, oh, my God, you're not supposed to talk about that.
I'm sure they did. That's great.
A great example of other examples that you give in your book there, and I think that one stood out for me and Ray. Share with our audience the concept of buyer persona that you mentioned in your book, and more importantly, why it's so fundamental to a successful worldwide rave.
Yeah, so the idea of a buyer persona is you need to understand the specific group of people that your company or your products and services help and how you help them. And you need to think about them as discrete groups. And I, you guys probably do too. I stay in a lot of hotels. In fact, I'm talking to you now from a hotel in Scottsdale, Arizona. And I don't know if you've noticed, but every single hotel room, their online marketing is exactly the same. Their websites are exactly the same.
Yeah.
And that's because their websites are focused on the product.
Yeah.
And the product is hotel rooms and swimming pools and tasty shrimp at the restaurant. And I'm not in the hotel business, but I identified five buyer personas, and this sort of illustrates what I mean by this concept. There's an independent business traveler who makes a decision of what hotel they're going to stay at, and sometimes I do that, and I choose based on having an elliptical machine in the exercise room.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got a corporate travel department that's near the hotel, and they need to bring a couple hundred people a year through the area. They want to get a great deal, centralized billing. You've got an event planner who's going to do a conference for 300 people, and they've got a very, very different buyer persona. Or a young couple planning on getting married in the hotel ballroom, a completely different buyer persona. So the idea is understanding from their points of view what those buyers need in a hotel rather than just talking about your silly product. And that might mean that for the young couple planning on getting married, for that buyer persona, that you have a blog, and every single blog post is information about a different wedding band in the area. Imagine that, a different wedding band in Scottsdale for each blog post, with links to their sites and links to their videos. And all of a sudden, you're helping people who are planning a wedding.
Important thing for Brad there, we're going to take a break here in just a moment. Important thing for Brad is the soap. He likes to take the soaps with him, and the shampoos as well.
Is your hotel based on the soap?
Exactly. Motel 6 all the way, baby. David Bierman Scott is our guest. Worldwide Rave, creating triggers that get billions of people to spread your ideas and share your stories. And we'll spread more of those ideas and share more stories in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy.
Our special guest on the advertising show today is David Bierman Scott, author of Worldwide Rave, creating triggers that get millions of people to spread your ideas and share your stories. David, it's good to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always great talking to you guys.
Hey, you know, David, you mentioned also in your book that the ebook is one of the more powerful forms of web content and has particularly strong potential to become a trigger and viral, et cetera. I also understand that you offered your book free on Kindle, or through a Kindle, I should say, on Amazon for 5 days. First off, How did that go? And then I also want to follow up with a couple other questions.
Sure. So I think the concept of an e-book, and basically there's two types of e-books. One is on a reader device like a Kindle. I'll talk about that in a second. But the other one, which anybody can do, is just create a PDF document of valuable information, have it well-written and well-designed, maybe 15 pages, 20 pages, but with lots of white space and graphics. Call it an e-book, and all of a sudden it has value. And if you write it from the perspective of solving a problem for one of your buyer personas, all of a sudden you've got something that has an immense amount of value that people might pay money for, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is to give it away for free, and then people will spread it and share it. Some of my e-books have been downloaded. One of my e-books has been downloaded 500,000 times. And sure, I don't make a penny from that, but then I get a lot of money back in forms of people buying my books, inviting me to speak and whatnot. And I think any organization can do that. So the other form of an e-book is using some kind of reader. So Kindle is probably one of the most popular readers. And I told my publisher that I wanted to use the ideas in my book to promote my book, and I said, let's make the book free on a download basis on Kindle and also on PDF documents and forever. And I said, I just want to make it always free because I know I'll make it up in the print copies. And they said, no way, we're in the publishing business. Are you crazy? And I said, well, okay, well, how about we just make it free on Kindle? And they said no to that. How about we make it free on Kindle for a week? And then we compromised and got it free on Kindle for 5 days. I had dozens of people blog about it. I had thousands of people talk about it on Twitter. And we believe that Worldwide Rave is the most downloaded business book ever on Kindle.
Wow.
But what that did is it got people talking about the book. And it got people, you know, Worldwide Rave was on people's minds. And a lot of people read it. And then they recommended it to their friends. And it's not free anymore. And they have to buy it. And the other thing that was remarkable is my former book, The New Rules of Marketing and PR, hit the Business Week bestseller list the same month that it was free on Kindle, which was March of 2009. So what that told me is people were talking about me and my books, which drove people to buy the former book, which threw it onto the Business Week bestseller list. So that's an illustration, I think, of this concept of offering really valuable free information that gets people to talk about you.
And I take it you would consider it a success.
I would consider it a huge success. And I think if you ask my publisher, that they would also say it was a big success, but it's giving them headaches because now all their authors want to do it. And they're trying to figure out, what does this mean here? You know, we're in the business of selling books, not giving them away.
Who is this troublemaker, is this David Meerman's guy? Have him call me. I want to talk to him.
You know, the first person that comes to mind when I heard about you doing that, David, was Chris Anderson and his new book, Free. I guess you beat him to the punch on that, huh?
I guess I beat him to the punch, but I love the concept of his book. I haven't seen it yet. I guess it's not out yet. But as I understand it, and maybe you know better than I, isn't he going to make it a free download all the time?
Actually, it's already out, and he made it free, but he stole a chapter, I guess, out of your book, so to speak, or his publisher did not see it Chris's way, and they closed out the free offer after a period of time. I don't know if that had to do
with the number.
We're going to have Chris on the show here in the next couple months, and we'll talk about that. But, yeah, I agree with you. From what I've read about Chris's concept of free, it's an interesting concept and a wonderful idea, very timely as well.
Let's take a break here just a moment so we can continue the conversation. Our special guest is David Meerman Scott, best-selling author, and this time around it's the Worldwide Rave, creating triggers that get millions of people to spread your ideas and share your stories here. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. Stick around.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
And in a hotel room somewhere in Scottsdale this weekend, David Merriman Scott, our special guest. On The Advertising Show, David has a brand new book. It's called Worldwide Rave, Creating Triggers That Get Millions of People to Spread Your Ideas and Share Your Stories. David, a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks again. It's great to be here.
You know, David, reports are now suggesting Facebook will be the dominant social networking site worldwide within the next few years. So when does Twitter overtake Facebook?
You know what's interesting is I think that there's different types of social networking sites that have different purposes. And I think that the ones that tend to do very, very well, like Facebook, like YouTube, like Twitter, are ones that come up with a slightly different way for people to communicate. And YouTube was the first video sharing site. So now it's the dominant video sharing site. Facebook was the first major social networking site that required people to approve friendships before you could see someone's profile. Mm-hmm. And now they're one of the dominants. Twitter was one of the first, if not the first, to do sort of very, very, very small message sizes. So I actually think they're not mutually exclusive. I think that Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and all the ones that have become very, very popular will continue to live on. And I also think that there's something around the corner. What is it? I don't know. I wish I knew, because I'd buy stock in the company or become an advisor.
Yeah, right.
But there's going to be something around the corner. I mean, I kind of have my eye on this thing called 12 seconds, which is micro video. And the maximum length of the video is 12 seconds. So people use it to send little tiny messages to one another, much like Twitter, but in a video format. Don't know if it will take off, but it's another kind of a little bit new and unique idea, and those are the ones I think that do well.
And I would think that you could probably, I would hope, but be able to download video from your 12-second clip from your phone onto
that
site.
Yeah, you can do it from your phone, you can do it from your computer, you can do it from a flip video camera, all kinds of different ways, but absolutely, right from the phone, and you know, really, really easy to do. It's always interesting to me that when there's a new format like that, it becomes a new way to communicate, and Twitter is a new way to communicate that just literally didn't exist until 2 years ago.
It's on fire, and celebrities are all over it, so it'll be interesting to watch and see how it goes. You note in your book that 25% of companies block access to social media at the workplace. Is this a good thing, David?
I think this is the silliest thing in the whole world. When companies block Facebook or YouTube and other social networking sites, they're blocking Twitter now, I hear. The justification is either they think it's people are taking too much time, they're using this in a frivolous way, or they say it's too much on the bandwidth and it's hogging the bandwidth of the company, or they say that we can't trust, we don't want you to maybe give away a secret if you're using these sites. But I think it comes down to trust, and I think that organizations need to trust their employees to do the right thing. In fact, the exact same argument was used around email 15 years ago. People would say, no, we don't want our employees to have email because they might just send messages to each other all day and not do any work. I don't know a single company that doesn't allow all their employees to have email now. So I just think it's really silly to say to people you can't use these social networking sites. And instead, they should just say, well, here are the rules for behavior. It applies to all media, and there's no exceptions in terms of Facebook and these others. If you want to use it, great. And it actually becomes a business tool.
You know, we've mentioned the uniqueness of the format of your book, and I think it's just very well written, David. Throughout your book, you have so many calls to action prompts that you relate to the reader at different sections, what would be the one thing you would hope readers would take away from your book?
Thank you. I really appreciate you noticing that. We spent a lot of time working on the packaging. It's a one airplane read, I like to call it, short and sweet and easy to digest. I think what I want people to take away from the book is really, it's really two things. It's the first thing is that anybody can create something on the web that's so valuable that people are talking about it, they're buzzing about it. And that's a remarkable thing. It's a liberating thing as a business person, an entrepreneur, a marketer, an advertiser to be able to do that. The second thing is that it requires different thinking. What you know from your past lives as an advertiser or a marketer or a PR person, you can't apply those skills to get something that's spreadable. You have to be thinking differently. And that's why I tried to make it easy to understand my take on what ways you need to think differently.
On the Advertising Show, Ray Schillings, Brad Forsyth, David, we are out of time, but go get the book. What a fantastic book. It's called Worldwide Rave, Creating Triggers That Get Millions of People to Spread Your Ideas and Share Your Stories. Sell lots of books and come back and visit us again, David.
Hey, I appreciate it. It's always a great time talking to you.
Back with more in just a minute on the Advertising Show.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look exciting.
Thanks again to David Meerman Scott, our special guest on The Advertising Show. We've got, as we wrap up the month here, on into June, amazing. Nick Morgan coming up next week, author of Four Steps to Authenticity and Charisma, coming up here in just a week here at The Advertising Show. Want to say congratulations to a former guest here, past guest on The Advertising Show and his agency out of Austin. GSD&M beat out four other shops for the creative account. BMW Global has made the uncommon move of taking its worldwide ad account and parking it at a U.S. shop without much global experience. So, obviously, the idea of BMW Global being in Austin is a good thing here. And Roy Spence is the guy that I'm talking about. Congratulations to his team. Great agency. And what a score for them, huh, Brad?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're right. They GSD&M, for those that may not know, handle the domestic U.S. BMW account as well as some of the market-by-market and national exposure for BMW. But you're exactly right, Ray, to leverage that relationship and now have a global account with the glamour and the quality and brand of a BMW. I think that's huge on GSD&M's part. And Idea City, as they call themselves, and a little bit of a risk, I guess, on BMW's part. But, you know, great, good for everyone.
But I think a good risk, if there can be such a thing like that. Go for it. What do you have?
Well, I was going to mention, Ray, that Hulu, which we all know, that is been pushing for a lot of quick releases, DVD releases. They're really pushing the envelope when it comes to rebroadcasting on the web programming that you normally traditionally would get through television. The DVD box set of the just ended season of 24 on News Corp's Fox Network became available for sale the day after the airing of the season finale, which was very unusual. News Corp describes the unusually quick DVD release as an experiment amid changing viewing habits in the digital age. So a topic that we're going to ask our expert, resident expert, Alex Ben Block about. Whenever you see something new and innovative like that, you got to believe that, you know, it's the web that's making them change the way they normally thought about release dates and DVDs and concluding seasons, et cetera, et cetera. There used to be a delay. Not so much anymore.
And Hulu, too, this is interesting. Basically, what they're doing, they've got a clout for building brands, as we all know. And Pepsi has crafted retro-themed spots to run with the Hulu selection of shows from the 70s and 80s. 15-second ads promote the Pepsi throwback beverage launched in April into the nostalgia market. It features a packaging reminiscent of 70s designs and uses real sugar, like the soft drink recipe did 4 years ago. So those things are running right now, like on Hill Street Blues, Battlestar Galactica, Mary Tyler Moore, 11 spots, 200 programs all the way through the middle of June. We're going to take a break here. We've got Gene Bliss on the Advertising Show. Let's listen.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
The Container Store, which provides storage and organization solutions through an uber-friendly and helpful retail experience, is a privately held company. Over 3,000 employees work in 47 stores across the United States and in a distribution center and home office in Coppell, Texas. And every single one of them knows the company's detailed financials. A 30-page briefing, including the previous year's revenues, gross margins, cost of goods, payroll, and profit, is prepared in a hard copy presentation and given to each and every employee. By committing to create an environment of trust and nurturing its employees, the Container Store has successfully built a retail experience that compels their customers to come back. The Container Store's stable workforce, with only a 15% turnover rate, has employees that stand behind the store they love. Can you sustain the excitement of your company for customers in this manner by deciding to honor the intelligence of your employees? What actions can you take, or what policies can you remove, to show employees that you believe in them? Beloved companies throw away the rule book. Can you?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
It's always a pleasure. Gene Bliss here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Don't forget, next week it is Nick Morgan, author of Four Steps to Authenticity and Charisma, coming up here at theadvertisingshow.com. And one quick thing there. Go for it.
Well, Ray, Pepsi, you mentioned the throwback product and using sugar, cane sugar, as opposed to corn syrup or corn fructose, as they call it, which is been in the news lately, and claims that you know, a lot of our fat children are just that because of the inordinate use of corn syrup, and that sugar, all these chefs and others are getting back to that. I think it's great that Pepsi came out with that product, and I predict that you'll see other soft drinks following that, because corn syrup's gotten a bad rap, maybe deservingly so. I don't know enough about it, but use the natural product, right? Sugar, things like butter, you know, as opposed to margarine or
God only knows what that is, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So no, I think that's a good idea, and there are some parents who ironically, well, first of all, many won't let their children drink any type of beverage like that, but some that do insist on, no, we don't go with fake stuff. Fake stuff's bad. And those hardcore folks, to go one step further, we've got a friend who does not own a microwave because of the potential harmful effects of that. Not necessarily the radiation, but what it does to the stuff you cook on it. And such like that. So it certainly doesn't hurt to get back to the basics. So smart idea. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Tell a friend, too, about the Advertising Show. It's here at theadvertisingshow.com. Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit those great folks at Captivate.com. Ratioillings.com. It's a couple of great sponsors, and always a pleasure to have them along for the ride here with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsythe. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.